Welcome back to Beauty Marks Podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm so glad to see you here. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. If you haven't noticed already, I am in a new setup for 2024 here at High Hello Labs, and I am so excited. Definitely let me know in the comments what you think. I feel like this is definitely my vibe, and this is definitely more me, and so I'm super thankful to High Hello Labs for seeing the vision and making it come to life. And if you have any podcast or content or need an event space, make sure to check out High Hello Labs in downtown Orlando. So for this month, we will be going over all things relationship, and so I'm very excited for today's podcast guest, which is Danielle Jackson, and she talks about all things friendships and relationships. She's been for Bumble for Friends. She's one of their experts for friendships, as well as she travels to talk about connection and friendship. And I feel like this conversation is going to help you just kind of think about friendships in a different way and also be a better friend, which I feel like we're all trying to do. And so we talk all things friendship breakups, things that we've all experienced. And let's just get right into it. I am very excited for today's conversation that's all about friendship. And I feel like this is something in February that we're doing a relationship series. I feel like people think a lot about, you know, self-love, and they think about couple relationship love. And maybe we don't really talk about platonic relationships and friendships and like how rewarding and life-giving they can be. I am so excited to have a friendship expert, Danielle Jackson. And she is someone that talks about this all the time, like it's your job, and I love your bio for that. So thank you for joining us on Beauty Marks Podcast. How are you?
I'm okay, and I'm so excited to be here to have this conversation with you and your listeners, and it's always nice to facilitate an opportunity to talk through this. So thank you for having me as a guest.
Of course. What brought you into the work of talking about friendship? What is something that like really helps you to be passionate about doing this all the time?
Yeah, you know, I always joke that it certainly wasn't on my vision board when I was 10, you know, like I'm going to be a friendship coach, but I actually kind of stumbled into it. I was a high school teacher for 6 years working with 12th graders, and between classes and after school, it was the number one thing they wanted to talk to me about was, was some drama or not being included or whatever. And I didn't realize at the time I was kind of unofficially coaching them through it, but that's when my awareness of that as a key struggle began. And I had a front row seat to seeing how their issues of connectedness and belonging impacted everything else. Their attendance, confidence, academic performance, everything, if they didn't feel like they were in or whatever it was. And then after I left the classroom, you know, I had worked my way up to department chair, and then I left the classroom and I got into public relations. And so suddenly I find myself working with these charismatic, extroverted, high-achieving, boss babe women. And it didn't take long before I found out that privately, they too were struggling with friendship issues. Maybe it was a matter of not having friends because they were so career focused, or having a bunch of superficial connections because you're a networker, but nobody really knows you. So you're not satisfied with those connections. That's when I had a moment of like, wow, at every stage of womanhood, we're trying to figure out how to navigate relationships with other women. So for the past 6 years, my career has been studying what the research has to say about women's cooperation, communication, and conflict, and then sharing that information to help women make better informed decisions about their relational health.
Yeah, that's so good. And I feel like I love how you do the psychology, you know, kind of behind the research, you know, because it's like there's one thing to know. And I love how you said that it's like you can know a lot of people, and a lot of us maybe go to a lot of networking events, but we're like, out of all those people, like, do we really feel connected to them in like a deeper level? And I feel like that's what we're really looking for. So what have you seen with research? Like, what does research say about friendship?
Well, it says a lot of things. There's a lot of things. But one reason I like leading with the research is because whenever we talk about women's friendship, and you might see this too, for a lot of people, they use very fluffy language, or the tips are on like, you know, places to go to brunch or how to find your bestie. And that's all fun. And I definitely want to know where to go to brunch, right? But like, in terms of having satisfaction, in terms of overcoming conflict, what does the research say about what best practices might be with regard to vulnerability or, you know, investing time. That's not just fluffy stuff, but I know that it's evidence-based, so I can maybe kind of trust it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And with women's friendship, especially, the reason I like to lead with the research is because people tend to talk about friendship like it's this frivolous, silly thing, not worthy of like academic, intellectual conversation. Mm-hmm. And so women's friendship especially we see as like a cute little thing.
Yeah.
But when you look at the research that's telling us that it has a direct impact on our physical, mental, and emotional health, that signals to me that we should be having that conversation more from a wellness perspective and not just like a cute thing to do recreationally on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But this is something I have to prioritize for my well-being mm-hmm. and for how satisfied I feel with my life. Mm-hmm. And so when I was seeing like how important it is to all these other facets of our lives, I do think it's worthy of being discussed in a more formal and serious way.
Yeah. I watched a series on Netflix and it reminds me of what you're talking about of like people that live over 100 years old. And mm-hmm. a huge factor, which it had a lot of elements to it, but a big one mm-hmm. was about community, that there were a lot of elders that were in communities, you know, like they would go over and like make food together and go on walks together. And if someone's spouse passed away, they would go and be with them. And like they lived a long life. Like I have aunts that are great, great aunts that are still alive in 100 years old plus. And mm-hmm. they live like in communities in Honduras. That's where my family's from. And I'm like, they know what they're doing. Like they know a few things because it's not that they're the healthiest, but they have such like a life about them because of the people and the women around them.
Yeah, totally. And I know what you're referring to. It's about like blue zones. And,
yes.
And I've read that book a couple times. Yeah, about blue zones and these spaces where people seem to live really long and they're really happy. And they were looking at like, well, what is it? What is about this space that's making these people like, why is it concentrated here? Mm-hmm. And yes, you're right. It had to do with like their diet, the things that they eat. Mm-hmm. And if they're living in walkable communities, so I can mm-hmm. walk to where I need to go. Mm-hmm. And if I have people in my life and if I feel like I have meaning in my life, just all these mm-hmm. things that add up to, oh, this person probably has a high quality of life. And so, yeah, to your point, I mean, friendship is everything. Community is everything. I always like to differentiate between the two because I can have friends and that's, you know, a small little community, or I can have a larger community and maybe I don't have close friends in it, but I have community, you know, and we need both. We mm-hmm. need a varied textured network
yeah.
of people. We also need to have intimate relationships within that community. You need both. Mm-hmm. In fact, the research tells us that people who have relational diversity are happier people. Mm-hmm. People who have more weak ties are happier people. So weak ties are the people who you're not close with, but maybe it's Paul from accounting who you see once a week in the elevator and he's always telling a good joke. Mm-hmm. Or he's always like passing on information that you need for your meetings. And you're like, wow, thank you so much, Paul. You know, mm-hmm. so these people add value to our lives. They boost our mood. They put us on to things. They're resources. They affirm our identity, right? You know, so, you know, for me, I'm a Black woman. I'm a Christian. I'm a mom. I'm a creative. I need people in my life who can reflect that back to me. Mm-hmm. I need friends who know what it's like to be in the world as a Black woman. And I don't have to explain it. Mm-hmm. I need women who know what it's like to be a mom. And they're like, girl, I get it. Here are some tips that work for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm only going to get that if I have a varied network. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it's really important to prioritize that for our health and well-being.
Yeah, for sure. And I speak about it in categories. I don't know. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, of like friendships, of meaning like there's different kinds of friends that we have. And it's like sometimes we have expectations of friends. And sometimes it's sometimes nice to have different people that you can talk about those topics or do certain things with that maybe are not everything. Because I feel like a lot of us, I know growing up, it's like you had a lot of friends or you wanted to have the big group. And then as you grow up, you see that it's like our groups get a little smaller and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our life shifts and our goals and our values change, you know. And so how can someone maybe like that they want and they see the importance of connection, right? And they're like, okay, I have all these people, but I feel like I don't have the deep connections with certain people. Or sometimes mm-hmm. like I want this relationship to be closer, but it's not. And then I have this person, like how do they differentiate those things? Like how you're explaining.
The first thing is I'm really glad when women are like, okay, I have my people, but I want deeper relationships. Like this is nice, but I need more. And that is true because the longest running study on happiness found that the number one thing that contributes to our overall well-being and life satisfaction is the quality of our relationships. So that says to me, it doesn't matter if you have tons of people in your network, what does the quality of your relationships look like? Like, do you have depth? Are you seen, right? Instead of just being an extrovert with a bunch of contacts, are you seeing, are those good quality relationships? And for women specifically, I like that you touched on that because we do tend to be very dyadic, meaning we tend to be one-to-one with our friendships, whereas men tend to like a big group. They're always with a bunch of guys, which kind of affords you a level of anonymity. When I'm with a bunch of people, I can kind of fade away and be silent and not be known. But when you're one-to-one, it's just me and you. So that's why a lot of our friendships are deep and maybe more intense, because it tends to be that one-to-one situation. So we do tend to have expectations that, you know, this is my bestie. I'm looking for my one girl, because it's a tendency we have in how we congregate. But if you realize you're looking for more depth and satisfaction, there's a friendship expert. Her name is Shasta Nelson. And she argues that you need three things for depth in a relationship: positivity, consistency, and vulnerability. Positivity, because that's the basis of anything. Like, if we're not enjoying each other's company, I'm probably not going to elect to invest in this. It's not fun. So a bare minimum, it's overall a good time to be together. Some of us get in the habit of, you know, we're venting, complaining, and things like that. And in friendship, yes, one of the benefits is you have somebody to take your troubles to. But I always encourage people to look at, but how much though of your time, like how many of your interactions, what percentage is the venting and complaining? So positivity is important for depth. The second is consistency. I know there's a lot of talk around low maintenance friendships. I have a lot of opinions on that. But if I don't see you, I mean, how well do I know you?
Yes.
Really? I mean, even besties who are like, oh, we only talk every couple months. I think that speaks to your chemistry and your sense of closeness. But if we're only talking like three times a year, I only really know what you're choosing to self-report to me a couple times a year. Do I really know what's going on? So spending time together is important. And then finally, vulnerability, which means you can take risks of being rejected, but it's there that people tend to find that closeness and connection.
Yeah, I completely align with your train of thought and like your way that you see connection and closeness, because I think that low maintenance friendships, I think that low maintenance friendships, we see that a lot on social media, and it's like, I think that's so unrealistic to have your friend. If I can't talk to you for 3 months, like, you know, that there's still love there. I'll still like hype you up. And I'm like, that's like a acquaintance. I don't see that as like a deep, close friendship, like in my opinion, you know? And so I align with you of like, there are certain friendships that can be like that, but are they really like a depth, meaningful friendship where it's like, you know, that they know your life through and through, and it's not talking all the time, but it's like, you know, they're navigating different things and hardships and also good moments throughout the month, not just every 3 months. And then what you said about the first part about venting friends. So I have a lot of questions about that, because I think that sometimes, and you have probably been in that, because you're very, you seem like you're like a therapist, like you're like someone that, meaning like you're someone that people probably tell their life to, and people feel very connected to you or maybe comfortable. And sometimes with having a certain personality, people tend to either be over venting, or maybe they're always like assuming that that person is good because they're like, oh, you have it all together, so let me tell you about my life. So how do you navigate those kind of relationships when it feels like someone just comes to you to just vent, but then you're like, it's a one-way, you know, interaction with that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question, because there is a lot of that in women's friendships, a lot. The glue of women's friendships is self-disclosure. That's how we even negotiate and establish trust and closeness. You tell me things, I tell you things, right? And if we're not close anymore, I'm probably not telling you my things. So it's kind of how we negotiate trust and closeness in our friendships. But one downside of that naturally is finding that balance and recalibrating. How much is too much? How much is too little? You know, some friends get mad because they're like, man, she never tells me anything. I tell her everything. So it's the key is finding that rhythm. What's too much? What's not enough? If you find yourself in a position where you feel like, man, my friends, you know, I'm always there for them. They're always complaining to me, but I feel like I don't get it back. A couple things. My first, I don't like to say advice. I don't like to put myself as an advisor because you don't want Danielle's personal advice, okay? But I'll say this. you don't want to know. But I could tell you, you know, what the research says is that women are more prone to anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is because we don't have the space to, it's not as culturally acceptable or socially acceptable for us to be angry and expressive in certain ways. So we tend to hold it in. Mm-hmm. The research also tends to find that we integrate our friends into our lives to the degree of a sibling, mm-hmm. men to the degree of a cousin. So if you're in our world, you're our girl, you are in it. Mm-hmm. And we are affected by our friend's stuff. Mm-hmm. The research continues to show that if she's going through something distressing, it impacts me. I mean, that's a pro and con of friendship. Mm-hmm. You can't only take the good stuff that comes with it. But with that being said, that means if a friend is always coming to me to tell me the ups and downs of the relationship, or, you know, she's going through a tough time at work and I'm helping her, but I mean, there's a new update every hour and I'm taking it on. It's hard sometimes to find the balance of, man, I want to prove I'm a good friend. And I guess that means I have to be here for every minuscule emotional update because I'm a good friend. Mm-hmm. And we feel guilty. We feel guilty when we are like, this is too much. So, you know, I think the first thing is to remember that if you find that, okay, for the sake of my own self-preservation, this is too much, do not feel guilty about that. Maybe be very careful in how you articulate it, you know, to say like, man, I hate seeing you like this. And it's been quite a while now. I don't even know that, you know, I can help with this, you know, can so-and-so help? Or, you know, I know Joe went through something similar. Have you talked to him? To show her my form of support is going to look like me connecting you with people who could serve you better. Mm. But for me right now, there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we want to vent at some point, girl, tough love. Okay, what are we going to do about it? Yeah. Or can you talk to somebody who's like skilled to help? Because mm-hmm. I don't want this for you.
Yeah.
Right. And hopefully saying that to reasonable friends who can be like, you know what? Is it fair of me to put all of this on her? I mean, truly, because some people might disagree with me, but I think there's a lot of romanticizing the idea of like, but if you're my friend, I should be able to like give you everything. And I think it's a beautiful sentiment. I also think sometimes we put a lot of pressure of what the community is supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And we expect it of a singular person. And that's a very romantic idea. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's fair mm-hmm. to expect your friend to be all the things. Sometimes you need a skilled person to help. Yeah. Sometimes if you're going through, you know, postpartum depression, you need to talk to another mom who's been through it and not the, you know, the friend who's like, I hear you, but I can't help, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that's important. But for the woman who feels like people keep using me, but I'm not getting it back. This is not going to go. This is not going to maybe be received softly, but it's true. I need you to look at how you're contributing to that. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to blame you, but most of the women I have come across who are like, yeah, but nobody makes space for me. They don't often ask for space. Mm. And we say, but I shouldn't have to say it. She should know. And I cannot tell you, I think that myth is a relationship killer. But the research shows that women tend to have higher expectations in their close relationships. So that means in their romantic relationships and in friendships, they have higher expectations of what they ought to get than men do.
Yeah.
But what makes it worse is we sometimes don't communicate our expectations because we say, she should know. Mm-hmm. And I think you should know because you're another woman. And I think you should have women's intuition. And if you're my friend, then evidence of our closeness is the fact that I don't got to say it. You ought to know. Mm-hmm. So when you have high expectations paired with the belief that I shouldn't have to communicate them, mm-hmm. that makes for a whole bunch of mess. Ooh. So if you feel like you need more support, but you're kind of secretly testing her and putting it on her to know you need support, it is not fair. So I don't want to hear complaints about they don't make space for me if you never bring yourself to say, hey, I'm kind of like going through it right now. Can I just vent for a second? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I think I need help. I think I need you to come over. That feels very vulnerable to say. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us who pride ourselves on being self-sufficient, we're not going to let ourselves go there. But then we're going to open our mouth and be like, nobody has my back. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get comfortable saying, I think I need help. Or like, I got to be honest, I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
So that they can cue very explicitly, oh, shoot, it's her turn right now. Mm-hmm. It's my turn to be quiet and to come mm-hmm. through, right? Now, if you have said that and you have a friend who continues to bring it back to herself or she is missing the cues, it's okay to say, hey, you know, I love hearing about what you got going on. Okay, because I love to give you my two cents. But can we like take a time out, because there is something on my heart and I need to know your opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm gently telling you, it's my turn. And some people need to be trained. Oh, shoot. You're right. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes they don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I'll end with this. For the friend who you have made it plain, you've asked for help and you told her it's your turn and she cannot give that to you, no matter how much you ask, you are going to have to rethink. Okay. I don't think I can turn to her as a person to give me the support that I need. Mm-hmm. And you will have to choose if you think you're able to kind of recategorize her mm-hmm. and say, okay, you know what? She's just my good time gal. Mm-hmm. And you can be satisfied. Or if you need to kind of deprioritize it completely, if you find yourself growing resentful, mm-hmm. it's not fair to her and it's not fair to you. So those are just a couple things to keep in mind if we find ourselves in that space.
So good. You said so much. And I love that it all was on point, because I think that that's a really big part of the female friendships, of the expectations, of sometimes not feeling like we can express ourselves and really be honest about how we feel. And like how you were saying about sometimes you want to help a friend who may be going to someone else, or even sometimes I've told my, because I'm pro therapy. So I've told my friends like, hey, honestly, I've gone to my therapist about this. So I would recommend this. Here are some resources that have helped. Or if I listen to a podcast, I send it to them if I know that they're going through a certain something in their life that maybe I don't relate to or I can't help them. It's kind of guiding them to other avenues. Because yeah, it's definitely something that I have struggled with, of not being able to be honest, but it feels so freeing when you do. Like I have had those moments that I'm like, hey, I need you to call me and I'm going to talk to you and I just want someone to listen to me. And it does feel very vulnerable. But I have realized that when I do that, those friendships actually, those people actually open space for you and they want to hear what you have to say. And they're like, I didn't know that you were going through that. I wish you would have told me that earlier. And mm-hmm. so sometimes in our head, we're like, oh, no, they're not going to care. But it's like, no, there are people that do. It just we have to ask for that. So I love how you said that. Yeah. And I know you talk a lot about kind of how women give more chances to the men or their partners than they do mm-hmm. to friendships. But we have high expectations and we treat, how you said, our friendships like if it's kind of like the romantic of like, you need to be my ride or die, super loyal. You can't talk. I hate that girl. You can't talk to her. Like very kind of like, I wouldn't say jealous, but some people are, you know, into mm-hmm. that. So mm-hmm. how then do we kind of work through that, through conflicts that come up? Because people do sometimes have those expectations. And I know you have an upcoming book that you mm-hmm. talk about fighting. Is it Fighting for Your Friends, right?
Yeah. So Fighting for Our Friendships, which comes out in May and is available for pre-order now. And we're super excited about it. But you're absolutely right. There are those conflicts that are kind of tricky mm-hmm. and there is jealousy. We don't like to say it. You know, that's mm-hmm. no one wants to kind of like own that word and even feels kind of like icky saying like, are you jealous? You know, like mm-hmm. all that. But that's real. Mm-hmm. Yes. Feelings of being territorial and mm-hmm. you know, threatened and things like that is so real. And it is not a feeling exclusive to women. We all do, but it tends to be like stamped on us.
Yeah.
But conflict is really tricky. Yet the research says that on the other side of healthy conflict is more connection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's funny is sometimes people will ask me like, you know, like you did earlier, you know, how can we get closer to our friends? And people expect, you know, like you got to be vulnerable, spend time together. And that's true. You know, another way to be closer to your friends is to not run from conflict mm-hmm. because the closest I have felt to some of my friends is after like a weird, awkward, tense kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, let's talk about it. And after mm-hmm. that moment where it's like, okay, well, I didn't know you felt that way. Or like, mm-hmm. okay, I didn't know you needed that. Or I didn't know that was, you know, offensive to you. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know, you know, thank you for telling me. I feel closer to her because I feel more informed.
Yeah.
I have more data. And because we got through that together. So now I look at you like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I know you more than before. Mm-hmm. So conflict is not something to run from. But what happens is, and to your point about like, it sometimes seems like we give guys, you know, our partner more chance, but not our friend. Here's why my theory mm-hmm. is because we are so primed for so long that you need to like fight for your romantic relationship. You guys got to like talk through it. You know, you got to tell him what's the matter. You got to tell him. So I expect conflict and misunderstanding with my romantic partner. I've been prepped my whole life to like talk it through. And here's what's your love language. Everything's in the context of romantic relationships. But the story on friendship is that like best friends for life, you know, you're my girl forever. And like, you just have a certain chemistry with a woman. I can't explain it, but just a chemistry. Like if I am talking about female friendship, like it's just like this hazy little bubble. The first time I have a real life conflict with you, I'm taking it as evidence of our lack of compatibility because there's not supposed to be conflict here. But if that same conflict happened with my partner, I expect that. So I'm equipped and prepared. But with you, I think, oh, I guess we're not as close as I thought. And that would be the first thing that makes us maybe end a lot of relationships premature. So or friendships prematurely. So I think just generally in conflict, the first thing is tell yourself, hold on a second before I withdraw, before I say, oh, I guess she's like that. Before I do that, you know, can I lean in and open to a conversation?
It is said that in life, you must have a good friend, a good doctor, a good lawyer, and a good accountant. In the matters of a good accountant, Florida Business Services is the right choice. With more than 30 years of professional experience, personalized service, and excellent customer service, contact them today for any accounting, taxes, business startup, or payroll needs. You can contact them at 407-723-1333 or visit their website at flbusinessservices.com. Thank you, Florida Business Services, for sponsoring this episode. You guys know I'm a mental health advocate and I talk about therapy a lot because I have seen how life-changing it has been for my life through things that I've walked through and has helped me to have tools to navigate life. If you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, therapy can give you the tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I am excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible to us all. Finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, you can get matched with a professional therapist in a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist by following the link betterhelp.com/beautymarkspodcast. By clicking that link, it helps support this show, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. And because finding a therapist is kind of like dating, if you don't really fit with that therapist, you can find a better match for you by easily switching to a new therapist at no additional cost. I have been in therapy on and off for the past few years and have embraced looking for help when I need it. I have found so much support through different seasons of my life, and I know you can too. So if you're struggling or need to talk to someone, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Better H-E-L-P. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/beautymarkspodcast. Thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting this podcast. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I think that that's where I have come, like coming from like high school, middle school, like it was like always trying to have a best friend. And then it's like as you get older and your friendships evolve and change, then you're like, oh, we're actually not going to agree on everything. And actually a lot of my friends, and I know you talk about this a lot, about like different personalities. And like we have a lot of different personalities in like my friend group. And at first I was like, I want someone that's exactly like me. And I'm like, no, she would drive me insane. I was like, no, I'm good. Like, but at the same time, I feel like our values align and certain things align and we do have things in common, but like our personalities and maybe the way that we communicate is different. The way that we receive love, like all those things, our friends have that too. We just maybe don't put that in the forefront of like, wow, I should think about my friend, you know, what is she, how can I show her I appreciate her, you know? And maybe it's like, yeah. Like I'm very quality time, quality conversation. Do you know your love language?
I do. And I think it also like fluctuates over time, but I think words of affirmation, because I'm a words person, and then quality time for sure.
Yes. And so knowing that in friendships and relationships, and even like with my sisters and all those kind of things, I'm like, wow, like that's actually helped my relationships outside of just couples, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that those things are really important. And I know that some people, I did a poll on my Instagram of like some kind of questions that people had, and a lot of people had questions about conflict, of course, as can be, but also about jealous friends. And I know we kind of talked about that briefly, but so can we do like a rapid questions about kind of that?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first question was, how can I trust an insecure friend, or is it possible to?
So there's like a lack of details there. So I'm just going to make some assumptions. They mean like, I suspect my friend might be envious of me. So the first thing is ask yourself, what makes you feel like a person's envious? Because I've noticed a lot of girls who were raised with a mom who often said, they're just jealous of you. She anticipates jealousy and she interprets jealousy everywhere. So first, are you reading it wrong and reading into little things, or is you could factually point to evidence, right? Another tip would be, don't say it. It never goes well to say, you know, are you jealous or something? I've never seen that go well ever.
For sure.
And then, you know, another thing I would say is to, if you find yourself being paranoid and you're like, this is like legitimately a friend who is jealous, is to do not be tempted to minimize yourself, because women will say, well, then I'm not going to shine at all because I don't want to talk about anything good because I don't want her to get jealous. That is not okay. Keep being you. Don't be boastful. Keep sharing your shine, because you should be able to do that. But then if you really suspect that a person's to the level where they're sabotaging you, criticizing you, making passive aggressive remarks or saying things to humble you, I really strongly think you do need to, after calling it out, and calling out the tangible. Hey, I noticed that when I mentioned my promotion, you know, you got up and made a comment to so-and-so. What did you mean by that? Or what was that about? Point to the tangible. Don't just say, I feel like your vibe is off. I feel like you're, I noticed you made a remark. I noticed you rolled your eyes. I noticed you got upset when, what is that about? Always ask. And if it doesn't change after that, I really do think you should think carefully about how close this person's in your life. If they've demonstrated a desire to sabotage or humble, you have to be very careful and exercise wisdom.
Just briefly of what you said about insecure friends and like the jealousy of how we were raised by our moms. I heard that a lot growing up, and I feel like then I was like, wait, where did I get that from? Like, where? But then you would hear that a lot, same as like the thought of like guys, when they like you, they're mean. Like they're mean to you, so they like you. Wrong. That is not the truth, you know. But it's like, where can you, how can you reframe that and like learn new ways of like, what, maybe it's something deeper, maybe it's about them, it's not even about you that's happening, like they're something's happening in their life. So I love how you shared that. And something about an insecure friend. Can an insecure friend be able to love and support others?
I'm going to say yes, 100%, because, and again, this might, you know, surprise you and not be like popular if I made a TikTok video about it, but to everybody, to somebody, you're the insecure friend. And I don't think we like to turn that in, but we're insecure about different things. We use that label very broadly, but we're insecure about different things. So I might be a relatively confident woman, but maybe when I'm around, you know, women who look a certain way, I'm already a little sensitive to my looks, right? Or I might be a very confident, but maybe I'm not as confident about how intelligent I am. So I feel a little insecure about that in front of a, you know, a room of powerhouse women, you know, so we all have our thing. So do I think that women who are insecure, do I think they can love others and be supportive? I sure do. But do I think that having certain insecurities is going to limit the ways you can show up for others because you're not comfortable in your own skin and therefore feel threatened by, you know, others? Yes, that happens too. So, you know, we're speaking kind of broadly to the insecure friend, but I think that, you know, we all have our insecurities. I think where it gets tricky is if you notice that a friend's insecurities make it impossible for you to shine or feel loved or get attention, then that would be a problem. And if you are the insecure friend, you really need to do some reflection on, man, is my personal stuff impacting me relationally, because I would need to fix that, or it's going to be difficult to be in relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. So it's something I think we all need to spend a little time thinking about, myself included.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like we never put ourselves as like, maybe I'm that friend, or even hurting friends. Mm-hmm. Since we're like, I would never do that. But then it's like, maybe you have hurt friends. You just maybe didn't see that as like you weren't intentionally trying to do it. So then you're like, oh no.
Of course.
You know, like we always see ourselves sometimes like, I would never. So it's like being aware of that. Another question was how to inspire friends to grow instead of them feeling lower than you because you have different goals. So to elevate
that, that's such a beautiful, beautiful question, because one of the things I hear most often for women is how difficult it can feel to maintain friendships when you're in different life stages where you've grown out of certain things and your friend's still there. And you're like, ugh. I'll tell you this, because I've talked to a lot of women over the past couple of years. One thing that I think we unintentionally do, and you do whatever you want, but I just want to offer something, okay? Be very careful about your language. Because sometimes I hear women say like, you know, I grew out of that, or I'm better than that, or we use language that would make a friend feel like, oh, okay, because you were just doing this with me 3 months ago. You know, so it's hard for them to respect it if they feel like you have used language that shows, I think I'm now in a superior place and I think you need to elevate. It's going to be hard, I think, for anybody to digest, especially if you were just in it with them a couple weeks ago, whatever that thing was.
Yeah.
So I think being compassionate in that way, that everybody has a different pace. And then invite them to join you and not invite me by, join me by coming up here with me because you're down there and making it kind of like this linear thing and more instead of like, hey, I'm really finding more joy in this. So for example, let's say you recently stopped drinking. Instead of like, I can't do that anymore or I'm above that. Maybe it's just like, you know, I don't, it just wasn't hitting the same. Or, you know, I just find that I feel better when I just kind of have seltzer, I feel better. You know, so now I'm just speaking to the joy that I found instead of my disgust with the old thing that my friend is still in, because maybe that can spark curiosity for them to join me because they're seeing the other side, the after picture. And I'm inviting them to join me over here because I'm getting so much joy from this new worldview, this new lifestyle, whatever it is. So I think that's one way to invite them. But then I'll end with this. I think it goes back to having, you know, different friends who can affirm this new identity, because you're still going to love this friend who you have a history with. But it might be nice to invite friends who can affirm whatever that new identity is, you know, so you can find more, you know, satisfaction in your overall friendship landscape.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe like also inviting friends into what you're doing? So like, let's say you're about personal development, right? And you're going to this conference and you send it to a friend as like, hey, would love, I'm excited about this. Like, come and join me. It's kind of like, instead of, let's say, whatever it is that you used to do together and you just don't feel like that aligns with you anymore, it's kind of like inviting them into also the things without being, and if they say no, it's okay, but it's kind of like you're bringing them in. Do you think that that's another way to try to?
100%. And think about it from the friend perspective, who wouldn't love to be thought of? Like you saying, you know, sending me a link and saying, oh my gosh, I want to do this with you. It's flattering you thought of me and it's flattering that you want to spend time with me. So on the surface of it, that's all good stuff. You know, you could even go the extra mile of telling her why you think that she'd benefit from coming. And again, making sure our framing, you know, is important in language. My framing shouldn't be because I want to make you better. That is going to be a turn off to anybody. They're going to get defensive. I'd get defensive when my mom does it to me. Oh, you should do this because it'll help you, mom, you know? So, you know, can I say like, hey, I think they're going to have a session on, you know, business. And I know you mentioned, you know, you wanted to, you know, whatever with the Etsy shop, this might help you, you know? So, hey, you said you wanted this and I think you'll find pleasure in this. Let's go together. As opposed to like, hey, you know, if you're trying to get it together, this might help you elevate. You know, so framing is always important. But yeah, an invitation is always nice.
Yes. We sometimes don't think about how we say things, but it does matter because people take on, like, you're not going to take the same advice from someone that's trying to, like, say all the horrible, like, things about you versus someone that you have, like, that connection and feel comfortable and feel like they're not going to judge you. You'll probably listen to that person more and be like, you're right. You know, maybe I should consider this versus someone that's just telling you, you know, the way that you say it of like, you should fix your life. You should get your life together.
Yeah. And I'll one other thing I'll say is, you know, friendship is really, especially for women, And we say this in the book, Fighting for Our Friendships, we write a little bit about it, but egalitarianism is very important. And that's the idea that we're all equal, mm-hmm. we're all the same. So even with women leaders, they tend to want to know everybody's opinion before making a decision, right? What does everybody think? Mm-hmm. I want to consult everybody and find something that we can all agree on. So there's definitely good qualities, but women tend to value that a lot to feel mm-hmm. connected. So with that being said, we have to be very careful of anything we do that makes us feel like we're in different levels. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it almost feels like it violates one of the primary conditions of being besties mm-hmm. is that we are peers, we're equal. Mm-hmm. So that's why that language matters. If I start to say things about, you know, recommendations to make you better, mm-hmm. or I'm criticizing what you're doing, I've now elevated myself to a coach, a mentor, a model, things like that. So just being cautious is something to keep top of mind.
Yeah. That's a very important advice. And honestly, I know that you say that you're not like an advice girly, but I love your segment on Friend Forward where you like answer questions. Okay. That's why I say that. I'm like, please tell me your advice. So you guys need to check out our podcast. Really good. But also another question, and then we'll go on to something else. But it was how to, when to let go of friendships. Like, because a lot of friends, mm-hmm. There was a few questions that I kind of put it together of like, I've been friends with this person for so many years and I just feel like I have so, like I owe them from like the times that they were there for me. And now I feel like we're not the same. And now it's like that tension of like, we're not in the same, you know, I feel like I need to always still pursue this friendship, you know, so that kind of thing. And then maybe like when to cut it off or maybe, you know, maybe just see them as in passing and still wish the best, but not the same closeness. Of that friendship.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to keep this concise because there's a lot of things, but we'll just kind of keep it short for today. Women sometimes suffer from something called ruinous empathy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, empathy, a great thing. It's a necessary thing, mm-hmm. essential. But sometimes when you over-empathize, where you're considering that other person's feelings so much that you are suffering yourself mm-hmm. because you're putting their feelings ahead so much. And for women, I mean, who wants to be the woman who's making another woman feel bad? Mm-hmm. That's so deeply ingrained that we are doing things that we are uncomfortable with and self-sacrificing because we do not want to hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. This might sound harsh, but I just got to keep it real. If you find that you are in friendships because you feel obligated, mm-hmm. because you feel like, well, she was there for me 5 years ago, so I have to keep being her friend. You are doing a disservice to you both. And I don't mean cut her off or do anything like that. That would be explicitly hurtful mm-hmm. and inconsiderate. But I want you to think twice about being in any friendship where you're like, you know, I got to do this. Because mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I sure don't want anybody doing that with me.
Yeah.
If I found out that I had any friends who were like, I mean, Danielle wants to hang out. So I guess I'd be like, oh my God.
You say, girl, stay home.
Let me go. Just stay home. Don't do me any favors, right? So it is an act of generosity to release them so they can be in the company of people who appreciate their energy, their time, their company. That's where they need to be. And you need to be in friendships where you are happy being active and intentional and pursuing and not doing it because you feel like you owe them. Now, friendship does come with responsibility. That's different. I feel responsible for my friends if you're going to be in my life. But if you feel like a duty, like an obligation, that is different. Mm. So I do want to validate women who feel like I have to do this because I don't want to hurt her feelings. Just kind of think through that a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how would you be able to talk about that though? Because I know maybe like a practical like way. So let's say your friend tells you, hey, I feel like, you know, we've been through so much and I feel like you're kind of drifting away. Maybe that's that friend that you kind of feel that little like tug of mm-hmm. and how do you respond to that of like, hey, like I haven't seen you, I feel like we're kind of like not seeing like that close anymore, like I don't know if there's something going on. And then you kind of feel like that, like I don't want to be that close, like how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say is always be honest, and people confuse honesty for being a little too harsh. Mm-hmm. Not harsh, but do not speak inauthentically. And what I mean by that is what you just gave, that scenario of a friend saying, I feel like you're fading away. Like, are we cool? A lot of us will be tempted in that moment to say, oh my gosh, yeah, no, we're fine. I'm just busy. Blah, blah, blah. I've done it. because in that moment it's like, oh my God, I am not gonna hurt this girl. Like, I'm just gonna see him busy. But that would be untrue to say, yes, we're fine. I'm just busy. Because the truth is, you're not fine, and you could make time to hang with her if you wanted to. So we're gonna be honest, right? Warmth. So I might say something like, first of all, I think you should be having this conversation as close to in person as possible. Yes, it is awkward. Yes, you might get mad, but you want to be very mindful because other things come into play when you're not in person. So when we're talking digitally, she might apply a certain tone on it, this and that. You already know the deal. So I might, as close to in person as possible, say something to the effect of like, hey, I've been thinking a lot about our friendship lately. And I don't know if you've been experiencing me as distant or pulling away. And I just want you to know that is not something I'm doing on purpose. I'm not mad at you or anything like that. But I've been spending a lot more time on insert things here. And I feel like committing to that is not allowing me to like pour into this friendship the way that I used to. And I don't know that I'll be able to do it the way that I used to. And so like, I definitely, you know, want to check in and know about your life and things like that. But as far as like our weekly hangouts and things like that, I don't think I can give you that anymore. And I know there are women who are listening right now cringing at the idea of saying that, but I'll tell you what, it's worth the short-term discomfort for both of y'all now than to have this problem still a year from now. And have that girl wondering what she did wrong and to pursue you and things like that for a year, not knowing that her friend does not want to invest in the same way. And she could have been spending her energy with people who can be a little more reciprocal. So I always say, think about future you. Think about you in 2025. Do you still want to be dodging her calls, being dishonest about why you didn't pick up? Do you still want to be doing that? And I'll end with this. It's because the research finds that friendships where we're kind of on the fence, like, are more physically detrimental sometimes than negative friendships. Now, you definitely don't need to be in negative friendships, but the idea is that if you're in a friendship where you're constantly wavering, you're like, I don't know, that it does more to your heart, things like that, like physically, because of the back and forth. So at some point, ambivalent, that's the word I'm looking for, ambivalent friendships where you're kind of like, at some point, you need to figure it out and pursue that path because the back and forth is physically not good for you. Wow. So just something to consider.
Wow. I did not know that. I feel like I have, I have done that in the past. I'm not going to lie. I've done that of like not being so honest. And I can think of maybe like how that was interpreted from the other side because I was never clear. So that's like, wow. Like dealing with it is really the best way. But that's why I asked about the wording, because I feel like sometimes we want to say things, but we just don't know how. And like the uncomfortable conversation feels like too much, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Because I feel like a lot of women reach out about like friendship breakups because like they're like, hey, it's kind of like a breakup, literally, but it's with your friend. But then it's kind of like you can't have the same reaction sometimes as like you would in a breakup, you know, because it's like a platonic friendship, but it still hurts. And sometimes it's worse than some breakups that you've gone through because you're like, but I don't know what I did, but they just block me, or like I just see them and they're in another group, or like, you know, you just kind of don't have that closure of like what really happened. And then some friendship breakups is like a big argument and they just never talk again for years, you know. So everybody's situation is different, but that can be very hurtful. You know, so what encouragement do you have for someone that has gone through that if they're like in that?
Yeah. The first is just to acknowledge that, you know, the research shows us that we replace half of our friends on average every 7 years. So at some point there is like this natural pruning that's going to happen relationally, as it kind of should. You know, you're evolving. So I would hope that the same type girls that you had at 15 ain't the same people, you know. So at some point, you know, I can't carry everybody I collect with me throughout my life, you know. Now, I think I always use a caveat because you have some women who cut people off for any little thing and they feel validated by that, you know, and I'm like, okay, now hold on now. Okay. So, you know, but naturally, mm-hmm. you know, being cautious of, oh, I guess that's kind of going to happen. We outgrow. It's not, it doesn't mm-hmm. fit really well, you know? So I like to offer that. So she doesn't feel like, I feel like a personal failure that I could not make that friendship work. So hopefully that is a little bit of validation to soften mm-hmm. a little bit of that. The next thing is, give yourself time to be sad. A lot of times I notice that we don't have the same community for romantic grief. So if you say, you know, yeah, I just broke up with my boyfriend, we know what to do. Oh my God, girl.
Okay. We'll be over. Yes.
But whenever we do that about a friend, it typically is received in, oh my gosh, well, she was a fake friend anyway. Or you know what? You don't need her. Or we have language that exposes ourselves that we really believe that friendships are disposable. So I'm not even giving you the space to be sad because I'm like, you know what? You didn't even need her. You know, or she... Yes, I did. That was a person at one point in my life who I cared for very much. So this is going to be hurtful. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I'll say to kind of validate that woman is, you know, I once heard somebody, and I wish I knew who it was to give them proper credit, but she said something to the effect of, you know, for those, you know, dating men, that men sometimes see us as an object, but another woman sees you as a person. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we break up with this guy, we can convince ourselves, ah, well, he wasn't my guy. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of fish in the sea. That's a comfort. Mm-hmm. But when a woman who chose you because she thought you were funny, interesting, cool, she unchooses you. Now I'm wondering if I'm funny, if am I interesting enough? Am I cool enough? Mm-hmm. Because she unchose me. And it hits harder because it's almost like she knew me more deeply. And so it hurts a lot more, yeah. that rejection. So, you know, if a woman's struggling, that is totally, totally normal. But I would say, you know, after the healing process, position yourself in ways to invite new connections, not to replace her, but to start to open up you up to new things. Because, and I'll end with this, I know, you know, I said earlier, a lot of our friendships are dyadic, one-to-one. Well, one risk of that is we tend to get really, really into the one girl. So when it is over, we are completely disruptive because we weren't pouring into other friendships. So it can be very jarring. So use this as an opportunity. Who are other women in your circle who've kind of been pursuing you and they reach out and they invite you that you haven't really noticed? Yeah. Can you start to pay attention there? What are some things you've wanted to pursue, but you didn't because it didn't fit with the rhythm of your friend, but now you're kind of free to explore those paths, mm-hmm. you know? So try to figure out what you can be grateful for in the friendship. I know that sounds really corny, but the research shows that you're more likely to move forward without bitterness and resentment if you can at least identify something you were grateful for from it. That can help you to move forward and then position yourself to invite new connections into your life eventually. Mm-hmm. And maybe that will help.
Yeah. It's like you have to go through the process of grief, like and validating that experience to be able to be like, hey, I learned this. Now I'm here. And like, how do I want my other friendships to look like, you know? And I love.
Yeah. And I think
I talk about that a lot of like sometimes when we're closed off to, you know, because we don't want to get hurt, right? We close off and we're like, mm-hmm. never again. Like, I'm going to be like, I'm not going to go through that pain again. Been there before. But you also close off yourself when you're like that to like really good, genuine friends. And since you don't know it at the time because you're like in your process, but you're really missing out on potential people that would be like, oh my God, I would love to be her friend. Like, she looks like mm-hmm. she's such a good time. The kind of conversations, like, she's an in-depth person. I'm like that too. Like, you know, you can find your people even after maybe some other friends that other groups that and some hurts that have happened in your life.
100%. And I cannot agree with you more. Yes. Well said. Two things I want to note with the friendship breakup, very quickly, two ideas or two challenges I would give as homework, let's mm-hmm. say, to the women listening and who are like, Danielle, like, let's keep speaking on this because I am in this moment. Mm-hmm. Two pieces of homework. The first is I want you to ask yourself, what makes a successful friendship? And if your answer is a friendship that never ends, I want you to rethink that mm-hmm. because a lot of us are measuring our friendships by its longevity. So when it's over, we think, what did I get wrong? Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily know that a successful friendship is a long one. Now, I do think if y'all are getting some things right, you communicate, you evolve together, it probably increases the likelihood of you staying friends. That makes sense. But does end mean failure? Or can success be, man, we loved each other well during these years. We were there for each other when we needed it most. Lord, thank you for orchestrating my life in such a way that you put this woman here when I needed it. when I need a fellowship. Mm-hmm. Can that count too? That's first of all. The second thing is, to your point about losing trust, that's what therapists also often refer to as corrective experiences. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we get hurt and we're like, you know what? I'm not doing that again. That was painful. But we have to be open to corrective experiences, meaning I find myself in the same circumstances again a few months later, but things go differently this time. Mm-hmm. This woman's different. She accepted me when I said that vulnerable thing. Mm-hmm. Huh. And it gives you a chance to update the stories you've been telling yourself. But if you say, I'm not dealing with people no more, I'm not doing female friends anymore, you don't have an opportunity for corrective experiences. So those are two things to keep in mind that I think can help propel women forward after, you know, that loss. Yeah,
so good. Thank you so much for all your insights, for your knowledge, for your wisdom, for your advice from today's episode. What last encouragement do you have, talking about friendship, talking about connectedness, and what people need today? Like, what are some last encouragements for someone listening?
You know, just generally, I would say to be a connector, to be a connector. And by that, I mean, be a woman who leans into loving on other people, showing up for other people. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to get caught up in, well, who's giving it back? And okay, well, she's giving back a little bit, so then I'll give her a little bit. And am I going to rank her as a number one for her or number three? I get it. I see those stories and those posts and stuff all the time. Can you just live life like a generous connector? You see somebody in need, you help them out. You see a friend who's hurting, you help her out. You see a friend whose birthday it is, but she didn't say happy birthday to you, but you know it's her birthday, you text her happy birthday. And I know that's not popular, but I personally believe that God honors that. And if I'm measuring every little tit for tat and hoot, I believe at some point you be a connector. Don't be foolish now, but be a connector, be generous, be kind to other people. And be careful with how you care for the hearts of women who are in your circle. I think if you hold that as a life mantra, you'll be okay. Yeah,
so good. Wow. Thank you so much. Those are some things that I'm going to take away. I know, like, I usually listen to the episode after we record and I take things and notes and mental notes. So thank you for that. And thank you for the work that you're doing. How can people connect with you? She literally has so many practical tips. So you want to follow her. So can you share where people can connect with you and the things that you have coming up?
I appreciate you. Everything lives at betterfemalefriendships.com. So that's where women can learn, you know, more from the podcast and events coming up and all those cool things. But I'm happy to connect with women over there. And I appreciate you so much for facilitating a moment to have this conversation.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for tuning into this week's episode. And I will put all of the information down below.